In our series on the days of Elijah, we have seen the prophet who has done some pretty awesome things. I mean, think about it. He confronted King Ahab and told him that there would be no rain for several years. And he raised the widow's son back to life. And last week, we talked about how Elijah confronted King Ahab and the 850 prophets. And in the end, he prayed to God and called down fire, asked God to answer in fire, and God consumed the sacrifice with fire. In fact, God answered, not only consuming the sacrifice, he consumed the rocks, the soil, the water that was in the trench. His fire just consumed everything. It's pretty amazing. The stories of Elijah are pretty amazing, the days that he spent. And all that is very impressive. But what I'm most impressed about Elijah is how he obeys and continually prays. As you read through 1 Kings 17 and 18, you see that Elijah is continually seeking God's face. And in James chapter 5, verse 17, it states, Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Farmers around here would not be happy if Elijah prayed that. Elijah prayed, and it did not rain. Elijah prays, and the widow's son is healed. Elijah prays to God to send the fire upon the altar, and God answers. No wonder James, when he's talking about prayer, uses Elijah as an illustration. Here's a man that earnestly prayed. Wow, we need to be people like Elijah. So let's go back to Mount Carmel, you know, where the Lord's just demonstrated who he is, that he is the one and only God. Elijah has defeated the prophets of Baal. They've come and they've tried to call on Baal to bring down the fire, and it never happened. And Elijah put his sacrifice out, as we said, and he called on God, and God sent his fire. And so what happens from there? We read in 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 41 and 42. And Elijah asked Ahab, or said to Ahab, go eat and drink, for there is the sound of heavy rain. So Ahab went off to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel, bent down to the ground, and put his face between his knees. So Elijah tells Ahab, you know what? There's the sound of heavy rain coming. You better go eat and drink. Well, do you think King Ahab, what is he going to do when Elijah tells him to do something after he's just seen the 450 prophets of Baal and the sacrifice Elijah had and the fire that came down from God? Yes, sir, I'll go eat and I'll go drink. But did you catch what Elijah did? Elijah, on the other hand, climbs up to the top of the mountain and prays. And I know a few weeks ago we briefly touched on Elijah praying, but I'd like to really take a closer look at Elijah's prayer life. Not sure if you noticed what Elijah really did there. See, he just had a great victory. He's just called on the Lord, the Almighty, and God has brought down the fire on the altar when the prophets of Baal couldn't. What a great place that would have been, just to stop and pray and seek God. But Elijah doesn't do that. He climbs to the top of the mountain, to the top of the mountain. Not that the top of the mountain has any real significance here, but what it does say is that probably where Elijah had called down the fire from God was probably all the Israelites were there, right? And they were probably all still milling around, and there was probably lots of distraction and lots of commotion. What Elijah has really done is climbed to the top of the mountain to be alone with God, to get away from all the distraction, all the commotion. There are times when we should be praying with others. There are times that we need to gather together and pray with others, like in small groups, or like this Friday coming up when we have our Friday night prayer events. We need to gather together and pray with one another. But there are also times when we need to go to the top of Mount Carmel and pray and just be alone with God. Just have that one-on-one time with the Father. We read in Luke chapter 5, verse 16, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Jesus got alone with the Father. He always got away, from time to time, he got away from the crowds, and he even got away from his disciples and prayed by himself. I mean, you know, I don't have to gather the board around every time I need to pray or to gather people around. There are times when I need to just be alone with God. And Jesus tells us in Matthew 6 and the first half of verse 6, it says, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to the Father who is unseen. In other words, go into a place, get away from all the distractions, just get alone with God. Close the door. Don't worry about it if others see you praying or not. That's not what it's about. It's just about getting alone with God. The world is filled with so many distractions. We need to get away from our phones, from our tablets, from our computers, from the newspaper, from books, from anything that will be our televisions, from anything that will be a distraction. There's even times when we need to just shut off the music and just get alone with God. Not that we need to jump in our car and drive to the top of some mountain somewhere just to be alone with God. It might be with getting alone with God is knowing when everybody's out of the house and just finding that comfy chair that we can just sit in and be alone with God. Making sure our phone is nowhere around and it's turned off. Making sure nothing's going to happen as far as we can control it. And just focusing our thoughts totally on God, on the Father. So we can pray to Him and we can talk to Him and we can listen to what He has to say. And maybe that's not sitting in the chair. Maybe we need to get alone with God because there's never a time in our home when there isn't something that's distracting. So maybe we need to go out to the garage, or maybe we have a sewing room that we might go to, or a closet. I mean, if you watch the movie The War Room, the lady had a closet that she actually had set up as a prayer closet. Just a place where she could be alone and meet with God. Elijah separated himself from all that would distract him, and he prayed with God. Now, I know we mentioned a couple of weeks ago, but again, we see Elijah prays. As he prays, he humbles himself. We read that Elijah bent down to the ground and put his face between his knees. Now, it's not the posture that's really important here, but it's the heart attitude. But when we are most vulnerable during the time is after a great victory. Have you ever noticed that? That when we've had a great victory in our lives, sometimes it's really hard to be humble. Sometimes that humility doesn't come very easily. I mean, it would have been easy for Elijah to say to God, God, did you see what just happened? I mean, I just defeated all those prophets. There was a pile of them, and it was me alone against them, and I was victorious for you. It's easy to get prideful. It's easy to lose our humility after a great victory. Yet that's not what we see from Elijah, and we see it because of his posture. He's not lifting his face toward heaven and saying, God, here I am, your great prophet. He's bowed down to the ground. And his posture is actually stating, Lord, you are God. You have revealed yourself today to these people of Israel and to me. You and you alone have had a great victory today, God. You have brought about an amazing victory. Humility is the key in our prayers. We need to recognize that we are talking to the Heavenly Father, the Almighty God. He is the creator and sustainer of the universe. Nothing, absolutely nothing, is outside of his hands. That's who we're going to when we come in prayer. Jesus told a story about the Pharisee and the tax collector who went to the temple and prayed. The Pharisee comes to the tax before the Lord in prayer and he says, "Here I am. I'm not like these other sinners." And the tax collector comes before the Lord and prays, but he stays quite a distance back and bows down to the ground, never really looks up. He prays to God in humility. And Jesus said about the tax collector in Luke chapter 18, verse 14, he says, "I tell you that this man, this tax collector, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Humility. Elijah and the tax collector reveal the importance of coming before the Father in humility. We even see Peter echo this in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Peter says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time." It's God. It's not about us. We are his servants. We are his people. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the Master. He's the one that accomplishes everything. If we pray for somebody and they are healed, we were just the vessel he used. He did the healing. May we be people who separate ourselves to God, get alone with him in our prayers, and may we come to the Father humbly. And as Elijah's on the top of the mountain, we read in 1 Kings 18:43, "Then he said to his servant, 'Go and look toward the sea.' The servant went and looked and returned to Elijah and said, 'I didn't see anything.' Seven times Elijah told him to go and look." Elijah sends his servant to look for one thing and one thing only. Elijah wants to know, is there any sign of rain coming? God had promised the rain, and now he's praying specifically that God's promise would be fulfilled. God said, "The rain is coming." So Elijah is praying for the rain to come. He's not just saying, "God, send your glory. God, do something in your natural realm that you can do." He's praying specifically for the rain. Far too often, we are not specific enough in our prayers. If we need a job, we need to pray for a job. But even more specific than that, we should be praying for a job that we have the ability to do, that we have that training to do. If we need $150 to pay a bill, then we need to pray for the $150. We don't need to say, "Oh, Lord, just bless me." Like, ask the Lord, "Father, I need $150 by the end of the week because the bill is due." Then, do you know when we are specific with our prayers? Then we know when God answers the prayer. If I ask God for $150 by the end of the week to pay a bill, and it's due on Friday, and the money comes to me, somebody comes and hands me $150 on Thursday, or I get a check in the mail or whatever on Thursday, I know without a doubt where that money came from. It may have come from you, and you might have given me that $150, but I know that God spoke to you or spoke to somebody and somebody and somebody, and somehow he got me that $150 because I prayed specifically for it. If we have a fear, say, of spiders, then we need to pray specifically and say, "God, I have a fear of spiders. Please deliver me from that fear of spiders," rather than going, "God, just please deliver me from fear." "Well, Scott, you've got a lot of fears. Which one do you want me to deliver you from?" You know, we need to be specific. As we pray specifically, we will know exactly when our Father answers our prayers. Elijah prayed specifically, but he also prayed with expectation that the Lord would send the rain he had promised. Each time he prayed, he sends his servant to the to the edge and says, go look. Go look toward the sea and tell me what you see. And the servant comes. Six times he sent him. And six times the servant comes back with the same answer. The skies are clear. As far as you can see, there's nothing in the sky. Most of us would go, oh, maybe I've got it wrong. Maybe God's not sending the rain. But Elijah sends his servant back a seventh time. See, the circumstances were not dictating Elijah's faith and prayer. It was not if it was going to rain, but when it was going to rain. In 1 Kings chapter 18, 44, we read, the seventh time the servant reported, a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. So Elijah said, go tell Ahab, hitch up his chariot and go down before the rain stops you. A cloud that big is rising from the sea. Do you think Elijah's expecting rain? He sees a cloud, he hears about a cloud the size of a man's hand, and he tells his servant, go tell Ahab that he better hitch up the chariot because the rain is coming. And if he doesn't hitch up the chariot, he's not going to make it down to Jezreel before he's washed out. Elijah prayed so expectantly that even the small cloud didn't deter him and didn't say, oh, we better just wait a little longer. Let's get it bigger. In the 1800s, George Mueller ran an orphanage in England. And it's said that he never asked any man for money, for financial support. When he needed financial support or when he needed anything, whether it was food or whatever for the orphanage, he prayed and watched the Father provide. A captain of a ship that George Mueller was on while he was sailing to Quebec told this story. Mr. Mueller informed me that he needed to be in Quebec by Saturday afternoon, at which point I told him it was impossible. I asked Mr. Mueller if he had seen how dense the fog was. Mr. Mueller's reply was, no, my eyes is not on the density of the fog, but on the living God who controls every circumstance of life. I have never broken an engagement in 57 years. Let us go down to the chart room and pray. Expectant? Mr. Mueller knelt down and he prayed one of the most simple prayers. When he had finished, I was going to pray, but he put his hand on my shoulder and told me not to pray. As you do not believe, he will answer. And as I believe, he has. There is no need for you to pray about it. Mr. Mueller said, Captain, I have known the Lord for 57 years, and there has never been a single day when I have failed to get an audience with the king. Get up, Captain, and open the door, and you will see that the fog is gone. I got up, and the fog was indeed gone. And on that Saturday afternoon, Mr. Mueller kept his appointed engagement. Wow. George Mueller followed Elijah's example, and he was praying with expectancy. He expected the fog to go. He had prayed so many times throughout his life. He'd gotten alone with God so many times and prayed specifically and expectantly that he believed without a shadow of a doubt when he prayed that the fog, because he believed that God had that appointment, that was a divine appointment in Quebec, and he prayed with expectancy. Elijah prayed with expectancy, but also with persistently. We know this not only from this account, but we talked about it when he prayed for the widow's son, for his life to return to him. He prayed three times. Remember that? He stretched out on the widow's son three times and prayed. But at this time, he doesn't pray three or four times. He prays seven times until he sees that God has answered. Jesus has called us to do the same. Remember the exhortation of Jesus' words in Matthew 7:7? Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open to you. The verb tense in these passages, in this passage, makes the verse say, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. In other words, don't give up. I believe Elijah would have kept praying an eighth time and even a 20th time. In fact, I think Elijah would have kept praying until the servant did come back and say, there's a cloud as small as a man's hand, no matter how many times it took, because he believed, expected it, that God would answer that prayer, and he was going to pray until it happened, persistently praying until it happened. We could stay here all afternoon speculating why God makes us wait. Why does God do that? Why did Elijah have to pray seven times? Why do we have to pray three or four times or 100 times for something to happen? We could speculate all afternoon, but, you know, it might be because it's not time for it to happen yet. We don't know how long. Like we just think that Elijah prayed seven times. Like, he was just down on the ground and he prayed and said, you know, prayed in 5 minutes and then said to the servant, go look, and came back. Nope. Oh, go look again, you know. We don't know. He might have been up there for hours praying. It might not have been time. Maybe that's why God asks us to wait. Or maybe he's got something for us to learn in that waiting time. Or from what's happening. I don't know. What I do know, it's not why God has us waiting that matters as much as if we will persistently continue to pray until we hear an answer from him. God wants us to keep praying. Don't give up on that person you're praying for. If you've been praying for your neighbor, I know a lady who prayed for her neighbor for 8 years before she came to before the neighbor came to the Lord, but the neighbor did come to the Lord. If she had said, well, Elijah only prayed seven times, and he saw the small cloud. I'm giving up. I prayed 7 years. It's not going to happen. We need to persistently pray for those in our community. We need to pray until we hear the answer, till he says, stop praying. If he says stop praying, then we're free from praying. But until he says that, we should keep praying if he's laid it on our heart to pray for somebody. Can you imagine how drained emotionally and physically Elijah must have been that day? I mean, think about it. He meets with King Ahab. He tells King Ahab to get the prophets. The prophets come. The prophets do their sacrifice. All the people of Israel are there. The prophets do their sacrifice from morning till late afternoon. Then Elijah rebuilds the altar of God, places the sacrifice, the wood on the altar, and then the sacrifice on the altar. Then he prays a simple prayer. Elijah's not a man of lots of words. He prays a simple prayer. The fire of God comes down, consumes the altar and everything else around it. And then there's a verse that we haven't looked at, and I just didn't go into it. But then he tells the people of Israel to get a hold of the prophets of Baal and slaughter them. And then he climbs up Mount Carmel, and he starts praying. And like I said, we don't know how long he prayed for. Maybe 10 minutes, maybe an hour, maybe 3 hours. Who knows? But I'm sure he had to have been exhausted emotionally, the drain on it, physically the drain. Yeah, listen to what happens when we pray. In 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 45 to 46, meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds. The wind rose. The heavy rain came on and Ahab rode off to Jezreel. The power of the Lord came upon Elijah, and tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. Elijah's been praying. The power of the Lord comes on him. It strengthens him. He's strengthened by the Lord. And he runs ahead of King Ahab's chariot 21 kilometers. It's not just like a 1,000-yard dash or something. He runs 21 kilometers ahead of Ahab and his chariot with horses. He's strengthened. Isaiah wrote that those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Waiting is praying. As we wait and pray to God, our strength is renewed. Elijah prays. As he prays, he is strengthened and the rain came. Can you imagine the joy, the spirit that's in Elijah when he gets to Jezreel? I mean, I know how excited I'd be if I could even run a kilometer. Never mind 21 ahead of the horse, and that the rain that God had promised had come. Elijah's prayer was answered, not because he was an elegant prayer, not because of how long his prayer was, not because of how loud or how quiet his prayer was, or whether he was laying down or had his head between his legs or was standing up or sitting in a nice comfy chair. That had nothing to do with why Elijah's prayer was answered. His prayer was answered because he was humble, he was specific, he was expectant, and he was persistent as he got alone with God. That's why Elijah's prayer was answered. Let's pray. Father, we're not alone with you because we're a group of believers. We're a group, a family. But thank you, Father, for showing us how important prayer is, first and generally. Prayer is most important. Prayer needs to be in our lives every moment of every day, whether we're in a group, whether it's a small group, whether it's at Friday night prayer event, or whether we're just alone with you. Father, help us as we pray to be humble and specific. Help us to be expectant. Help us to be persistent. Father, may we have those special times where we're just alone with you, just us and you, where we can talk to you and share from the depths of our heart, and where we can listen and hear from you your specific answer for us. Thank you, Father, for the privilege and the honor to pray and to talk to you. Thank you that we can pray for others, that we can pray for needs, and that we can just pray blessing and honor and praise to you as well. Thank you for that wonderful opportunity that you've given to each one of your children to speak to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to the Almighty God, to our Heavenly Father. How blessed we are. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.